Okay, hello. I am working with Alex Karsiov in Sao Paulo, collaborating with Atsuo Okazaki in Japan and Thomas Rivinius from ISO. And we are going to collaborate also with Richard Sear and Carol Jones from here. So the subject of this talk is the tidal effects in B star binaries. Massive stars are very. Massive stars are usually in binary systems or have existed as such in some at some point in their lives. The B stars are no follow this rule. So, and when they are members of a binary system, they are the reservoir of mass for the companion star, which can be a compact star, a hot subdwarf O star, or a low mass main sequence star. The companion interacts in multiple ways with a B star disk. Through tidal interaction, radiative interaction, or the companion being a source of high energy particles for the B disk. So the model that has been generally accepted to explain as to describe the properties of the B star disk is the viscous decretion model, and it has been in this model the matter flows outwards in the disk through viscous diffusion through viscous forces. An analytical solution is possible if the disk is considered isothermal and it is fed at constant rate. With this publication, Björkman and Karsiov, they found so there is a power law with B being minus 3.5 and the Gaussian vertical distribution. The B disks are highly variable. They can be short. They exhibit both short and long term variations observed through photometry, spectroscopy, and polarimetry. And there have been proposed various means to produce that. Various means to produce this variability. So the long-term variations are usually attributed to disk growth and dissipation due to changes in the disk feeding rate. The short-term is usually accredited to local point mass explosions, as John Björkman referred to in his talk, the Crolle's mechanism to produce these variations. And the other thing is the interaction with the binary companion, and this is our subject for this talk. So, so in the past, Atsuo Okazaki has explored the effect of the viscosity of the value of the Sakura-Sunyaev parameter in the evolution in the disk properties. More particularly, he explored the truncation radius in coplanar aligned isothermal orbits. He did that with an SPH smooth particles hydrodynamic code, and we will use the same thing to explore the evolution of a B disk in a binary system, expanding the parameter ranges. not only to the binary period eccentricity, but also in the with respect to orientation. So we also consider isotropical ejection through the equator, isothermal conditions, injection rate is 10 to the minus 7 solar masses per year. This is the rate by which mass is transferred from the equator to the disk. So the actual decreasing rate is about 10 times lower. And we consider the parameters similar to Zeta Tauri for my basic run, apart from the period. So the same Sakura-Sunyaev parameter 0.4, zero eccentricity, and zero tilting. This is the results of Hobwa et al. 2002. So this is an isolated star for two different Sakura-Sunyaev parameters, and this the thick line is the steady. So after a lot, the steady state corresponds to the steady state for the surface density. So this line is a power law of minus 3.5. So these are my results. Hello. Okay. So this is my results. This is for a binary system. I plot the azimuthally average radial density. So integrated in the z direction and in the phi direction. The colorful lines are for different time steps. So the steady state is this gray line in the end. Thank you. So the steady state is this gray line in the end. But anyway, it seems that the steady state has been reached more or less in about 10 periods. And I think that Richard said, wherever he, I think that he said also that he finds that the disk is finally formed in about 8 periods. So that is an initial thing to say that we have kind of similar results. So the steady state, it's obvious that the steady state configuration is different to the structure for isolated stars, which is this black line here, which is a simple power law with of exponent minus 3.5. This is, okay, so the red dots is the steady state, my steady state simulation. We define the truncation radius as the point. No, okay. So the okay. So this is our result. We see that we can define the point where. No, we. How can I? So the inner part of the disk can be simulated with one power law, and the outer part of the disk can be simulated with another power law. And we define the truncation radius as the point where the two power laws cross. The black line is always the minus 3.5. So in the inner, we see that in the inner part, so the truncation radius seems to be somewhere here. So the inner disk has a power law lower, I mean more shallow than minus 3.5, and the outer disk has a steeper profile than the isolated star case. So steeper, okay. Yeah, I think it's not fun. So this is for three different. Okay, so this 0.4 is my basic run, and I in this plot I have changed only the Sakura-Sunyaev parameter from 0.1 and 1, and we see that the increasing the Sakura-Sunyaev parameter makes the power makes the density higher. So it changes the power law basically of the outer parts of the disk. Okay, again, the density as a function of the radius. Note that there, unlike to my other plots, the radius now is expressed in centimeters. So it's an absolute radius, because otherwise, in semi-major, if we change the orbital period, the semi-major axis changes as well. So although it seems that in a smaller period the truncation radius is bigger, in absolute values it's larger. It's smaller. And this is normal because if the periastron distance is smaller, the truncation radius should be smaller as well. I think I forgot to show something now. Okay, this is a different results for the with different eccentricity. So the zeta Tauri has eccentricity zero, but I did some runs with a larger eccentricity, larger than zero, so eccentric orbit, and we see the difference is that the truncation radius is not exactly a radius, but it's a range of it's a range of radii where the truncation takes place, because the periastron and the because it's not stable, not stable, because it's eccentric simply. I don't know now. This is so this is with different orientation. So I did this. So the zero means that the binary. It means prograde motion. So the B star disk rotates in the same sense as the companion star, and it is this. It can be shown here. In the retrograde motion, which is exactly this. So in this run, I have changed nothing but the rotation of the B star disk. We see that there is no kind of spiral structure, because as this rotates that way and that the other star rotates on the other way, the time that they they act on each other is smaller. So there is no really a difference whether as a function of the phase of the star. And we see here that the truncation radius, in, for the same reasons, the density is much higher in the retrograde motion, because there is no long interaction between the B star disk and the companion star. And so can it, I don't know if you can play this. Okay, so this is my basic run. This is a prograde motion. In the beginning we had no disk and it has formed. Now we are at about 5-6 orbital periods. And it starts creating, now it's about the time that we have reached more or less the steady state, and it starts showing this kind of structure, and also the fact that it's kind of synchronized with the face of the companion star. The disk is synchronized with the orbital face of the companion star. So that's it, more or less. The same video for the retrograde motion shows nothing. I mean, doesn't show. It's a simple. I won't show it because it's. This is the V over V to R diagram of zeta tau. This part will be explained by Cyril tomorrow. But we wonder if this part. Okay, so this is. These variations are caused because of the binary interaction. These variations, the disk variability hides this binary interaction. So we expect that after we create observational predictions for these runs that I already showed, we will be able to explain this part with our binary simulations. So the conclusions are, I have talked already about the conclusions. The future plans are basically that to compare the the SPH results with the Pluto results with the Richard and Carl from Western University, to explore various effects like the mass ratio, and to create the observational predictions with H-dust. And more or less I have talked about everything, so that was it.
Regarding the first conclusion, CDC reaching very quickly in less than 10 volts. I wonder if it's due to the small number of particles you use.
Yes, I do use small number.
If it's small, then effectively the viscosity is higher.
What is higher?
Viscous current is large for small.
It might be, but now, okay, in fact I have not tried with less or more particles because I didn't have time. So I don't know if this change.
For example, you showed this structure for three different values of optical eccentricity.
Yes.
0.3 and 0.6.
Yes.
And they are all not truncating, right? But usually you have.
No, you have. Like, do you want me to show
you? Your source distribution, I mean, extends to up to, say, all symmetry axes.
Let me see, because I. Pizza? Pizza.
Usually, if eccentricity is 0.6, it's a very small distance. So the truncation radius is about 0.2 to 0.3.
Truncation.
Because the separation is 0.4.
But truncation radius, do we talk about the same thing? Because, I mean, for example.
You will have the sharp bending of surface density.
Yes.
Around,
yeah.
0.2 or 0.3. If the alpha viscosity is 0.1 or 0.2.
Yes, these are all for 0.5.
I think this goes into the details now.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, another question?
In one of the last slides, you showed observations of a star. What was the star? I missed it.
Zeta Tau.
Zeta Tau.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and thank all the speakers of today again.